Now, my friend, when they came and they worshiped him and they brought that frankincense, which was the sweet perfume to be used for God only, and they bowed down and worshiped him, they were saying, not only is he one of sovereign dominion, he's a king, but he's one also of sinless deity. He is God. Now, folks, if there's a message that needs to be preached in this day and this age, that's the message.
Adrian Rogers had the unique ability to apply biblical truth to everyday life. It was one of the many things that made him such a remarkable pastor, Bible teacher, and writer. And you'll hear that in this series of Christmas messages that we're calling, What Child Is This? Before we begin, remember, you can follow along with Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, or complete transcript of today's message at lwf.org or the MyLWF app. Now, let's join Adrian Rogers.
Find the Christmas story, please, in Matthew chapter 2. And we're talking today about Christmas wisdom, how you can have some wisdom in your Christmas. Now, let's read this story here. I'm going to read right through all 12 verses here. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. Now, just underscore that. Wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Of course, you know, what he wanted to do was not to worship him, but to kill him, as you can tell by reading more scripture. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, there's a lot that we don't know about these wise men. For example, we don't know how many there were. Some say there were three because of three types of gifts. Maybe so, but maybe not. The Bible doesn't say with specificity. We certainly don't know they rode on camels. They may have. Some scholars say they probably rode Arabian horses. We really don't know. We really don't know what country they came from. Most likely, however, they came from Babylon. There are a lot of things that we don't know about these men. We don't have to know, because if we had to know, the Bible would have told us with specificity. But we do know this, that they were wise, because the Bible says they were wise men. The biblical word for that is magi. These were men who were students of Scripture. They were students of prophecy. They were students of the stars in the sky. And most likely, if they were from Babylon, they were students of the prophet Daniel, because Daniel spent a great deal of time in Babylon, and Daniel himself was a great, great prophet and very wise. Now, there's something else we don't know. We don't know exactly what that star was. Now, there's some astronomers say, well, it was a supernova. Some are alignment of the planets that caused, at that particular time, excessive brightness in the sky. That's impossible that it could have been something like that for this reason. It moved and it led them. So you could not have some supernova, some star like that. Others say, all right, then it was a comet. No, it couldn't have been a comet, because a comet just flashes across the sky and it's gone. It couldn't have been a comet that would have stayed up there for months as these men traversed distance of about 300 miles from Babylon, or wherever it was in the east when they first saw the star. What was it? Ebersheim, who is a Messianic Jewish scholar, says that the word star has a number of meanings in the Bible, and it comes from a root that literally means brilliance, brilliance, light. And most likely what this brilliance was, this aura, this thing in the sky, was the Shekinah glory of God. And when you think about it, that makes perfect sense, because the glory of God has already led people in the Old Testament. For example, what led the children of Israel through the wilderness? A pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. That was what they call the Shekinah glory of God, that effulgence of God that had a physical manifestation of God's glory. And of course, it could move. It did move. It guided them through the wilderness. When Solomon dedicated the temple, what happened? The Shekinah glory of God came into the Holy of Holies. And before the Babylonians invaded Israel, Ezekiel the prophet tells about that Shekinah glory, how it departed from the temple. He said it came out of the Holy of Holies to the threshold there of the temple. And then later on it moved from the threshold of the temple, it moved on to the gate, the eastern gate, and Ezekiel saw it. And then he saw that glory as it moved on to the Mount of Olives and went on up and disappeared. What I'm trying to say is that the glory of the Lord could be seen as a brilliance. Ezekiel described it. As a matter of fact, when those shepherds were in the field, what shone around them? The glory of the Lord. And then they went and it came over the place where the young child lay. So I think that what happened is, and it's a wonderful story, is that the glory of God appeared to these wise men there in the east, and that glory of God led them there to that place, that house where the young child was. For example, look in Luke chapter 2 verse 9, just write it down. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, there's some things we may not know about all of the details. We know everything we need to know, because if we need to know any more, the Bible would tell us. But we do know this, that these men were exceedingly wise men. Why? Because they sought out the Lord Jesus Christ to worship Him. Look up here and let me tell you something now. My precious friend, listen to me. The wisest thing you could ever do at Christmas time or any other time is to worship Jesus. Now, I hope that doesn't fall flat. I hope you don't miss that. Friend, that is the bottom of all bottom lines. That is the wisest thing that anybody could ever do. It is simply to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people who want the joys of Christmas without the worship of Jesus. Impossible. Impossible. Now, you may have a giddy time, but you're never going to know the joys of Christmas until you learn to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see that these men were so interested in worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ that they did this in spite of great difficulty. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to worship Him." If Babylon, that's a distance of about 300 miles. There was the difficulty of distance. Now, can a friend, a 300-mile trip today, if you're riding in a fine automobile, may tire you out. Can you imagine what a trip would have been like in that day, the difficulty of a trip like that? And there was not only the distance, but the discomfort. They were not riding in an air-conditioned automobile. There were no trains, no planes, no motels. This is rugged terrain. They're coming over that kind of inhospitable terrain to worship the Lord. And very frankly, those of you who are watching on television, this is a rainy day in our city today. And I hate to tell you this, But there's some folks who are not here today because it's raining.
That's right.
One morning, Joyce and I, it was about 5:30 in the morning, and a thunderclap hit. She said, "Adrian, did you hear that?" I said, "What?" She said, 10,000 Baptists just rolled over and went back to sleep. I mean, you know, difficulty. Here these guys came to worship the Lord in spite of difficulty. I'm amazed at what will keep some people out of the house of God. And I go turn on my television, I see up there in Green Bay, and the Green Bay Packers playing television, and there are guys out there without their shirts on, full of embalming fluid, in the snow. You don't know what I'm talking about when I say embalming fluid. I hope you don't. Well, I hope you do. I hope you know, but I hope you don't know by experience. All right, now, I mean, these guys are out there, I mean, bare-chested, rooting for people pulling a football up and down a pasture. And yet people say, "Well, you know, it's raining. We couldn't come this morning." No, here were men. They wanted to worship the Lord in spite of distance, in spite of difficulty, and in spite of danger. There was old Herod the king. He was the one who had all the little boy babies murdered later on. He said, "Tell me where he is that I might come and worship him." He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to murder him. He tried to murder the baby Jesus. He'd already murdered a couple of wives. He'd murdered three sons. As a matter of fact, Herod, who was so hated, had arranged that when he died, there were some prominent citizens. He had a list of them. They were all to be put to death the day he died. Do you know why? He wanted to be some tears the day he died. So he had a list of people. I mean, that's the kind of a man that Herod was. And these wise men, since that's his jurisdiction, had to deal with him. In spite of distance, in spite of difficulty, in spite of danger, they sought to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, does worship mean that much to you? Or do you have sort of a take it and leave it attitude? The Bible says, "You shall seek for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God have mercy upon our half-hearted worship. Say amen. I mean, if He's worth anything, He's worth everything. Worship means worth-ship. That's where we get the word worship. Worth-ship. What is Jesus worth to you? I believe the biggest cult in America is the cult of the comfortable. We just want to take it easy. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." Now, how did these wise men find the Lord Jesus? I want you to listen, because our message today is going to have 2 points. Number one, how they sought Him, and number two, what they brought Him, okay? How they sought Him, and number two, what they brought Him. Now, first of all, I want you to see how these wise men sought the Lord Jesus Christ. How they sought Him. Verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men to Jerusalem." There were three things that helped them to find the Lord Jesus. And friend, if you're listening through television, or if you're here today without Christ, let me tell you how you can seek the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, there was the ministry of the Spirit. There was the ministry of the Spirit. What put in the hearts of these men to seek the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit? The Bible says of our human flesh, "There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one." Now, there are a lot of people in the realm of church growth today who say, "Well, we need to have seeker-sensitive services." That is, the people are coming seeking God. Friend, the Bible says no man seeks God. None, not one. You say, "Well, I sought Him." The only reason you sought Him is because He first sought you. That's, listen, friend, when God got you, you were running from God. The only reason God got you is He can run faster than you can. I mean, there's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. We love Him because He first loved us. It is God who put the desire in our heart to seek Him. It was God who put the desire in the heart of these wise men to seek the Lord God. Worship is a desire planted in the hearts of men by the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, today God is seeking you. You say, how do I know? Well, the Bible teaches the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, "Christ is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And I can tell you with authority today that Jesus is seeking you. And I don't believe it's incidental or accidental that you're in this service today or listening by television or tape. God is seeking you. And by the dear Holy Spirit of God, if you will listen, there's a still small voice in you that is inclining your heart to worship Him. You can stultify and smother that voice if you will, but God is reaching out to you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and the bride say, come, come to Jesus. There's a second thing that enabled these wise men to seek Him, not only the ministry of the Spirit, but there was the message of the Scripture. Look in verses 2 through 6 of this same chapter. And the Bible says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then Herod the king, when he had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now that's a strange thing. Where is the Messiah going to be born? He brings the high muckety mucks in there, the priests and the scribes. Tell me where he's going to be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now how did they know that? For thus it is written by the prophet, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. It's very plain. The Bible prophesied in minute detail things about the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of these was his birthplace. These men had the Word of God. They had not only this prophecy from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 that tells that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem, but if they came from Babylon, they also had the prophecies of the prophet Daniel, who told in Daniel chapter 9 in that remarkable prophecy the time that Jesus would come as the Messiah. Now, these are wonderful prophecies. Now I want to tell you something else. If you want to find Jesus this Christmas season, not only is there the ministry of the Spirit, but there's the message of the Scripture. Open the Bible and read. Listen, they missed, many of these people missed His first coming because they simply did not read, believe, or obey the Scripture. We don't have any record, for example, that these scribes and these priests went down there to worship Him. That's amazing. They knew where he was. They knew about it, but they still didn't go. We don't have any record that Herod went. That's amazing. There was the message, the plain message. You can hear me preach today and believe it intellectually and miss it altogether. Did you know that? Isn't it amazing that there are unbelieving believers? That they never really ever act on what they say they believe? And by the way, as the Scriptures clearly and plainly delineated His first coming, listen to me carefully, the Scriptures clearly and plainly delineate His second coming. And there's some who missed His first coming, and there's some who are going to miss His second coming for exactly the same reason. They're not listening to the ministry of the Spirit and the message of the Scriptures. But now there was a third thing that led these men, these wise men, and that was the miracle of the star. The miracle of the star. The Shekinah glory of God was leading them step by step. Well, you say, when God appears to me in Shekinah glory, then I will follow Him. Friend, God knew what was necessary for those people in that day at that time. Listen carefully to me. When you set your heart to find God, when you want to know Him, whatever it takes, whatever is necessary, God will get that to you that you might know Him. Now, it may not be a miracle of a star. It might be some other kind of a miracle. It might be that God will send some messenger to you. It may be that you will hear the urging of a next door neighbor. I don't know what kind of a star God will send to you, but God will reveal His glory to you. Now, if you don't want the Lord, God's not going to lead you. God's not going to guide you. I don't even find in a record that the star appeared to Herod at all, for example. Why? Herod didn't want to know the Lord. I've often said some people can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. They don't want to know. They don't seek God. You get serious about seeking God. Listen to me. You get serious about seeking God, I promise you on the authority of the Word of God, He'll reveal Himself to you. Whatever's necessary, if you want to know Him, you can know Him. So these men were wise, number one, in how they sought Him. They were wise, number two, in what they brought Him. Now, what did they bring Him? Well, the Bible says that they brought Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, is that just incidental? No, it's fundamental. Why these three specific gifts? Why are these things mentioned in the Scripture? I remind you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's nothing there that is not important, properly understood. So, the gold, number one, speaks of His sovereign dominion. His sovereign dominion. Now, look in verse 2. Where is He that is born what? King, King of the Jews. And then look in chapter 2, verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, that means a ruler, that shall rule My people Israel. It is obvious, beyond any equivocation, that these wise men knew that that child was a king. And if you want to have wisdom this Christmas, you're going to understand the same thing. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. You see, when they brought gold, gold was the most precious metal they knew. In that day, it was used to signify a king. They made their crowns of gold. The Bible speaks of crowns of gold. Daniel said that Messiah would be a king. He speaks in Daniel 9, verse 25, of Messiah the Prince. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, that He was to be a king. Listen to this, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. That little baby is king. Now you'll never, 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 never know the meaning of Christmas until you crown Him king. Have you done that? The angel said to Mary in Luke 1, verse 33, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. When you deal with Jesus, you're dealing with sovereignty, and He is worthy of our tribute. When you come to an earthly king, if you had an earthly king or even a government, you pay tribute. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. I'll guarantee you, when income tax comes around, unless you're a dirty crook, you're going to pay your taxes. You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. I want to ask you a question. Have you rendered to Jesus the things that are His? Do you realize that He is King of kings and Lord of lords? Have you taken the crown from your head and put the crown upon His head? Do you say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my gold to You. I pay tribute to You. I do homage to You. I bow my knee to You. Have you done that? I say, listen, have you done that? In everybody's heart, there's a throne. When self is on that throne, Christ is on the cross. When Christ is on that throne, self is on the cross. And everybody's in one of those two categories today. They recognize, these men were wise, because they recognized His sovereign dominion. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? All right? But secondly, not only did they bring to Him gold, but they brought to Him frankincense. And frankincense speaks of His sinless deity. Not only is He King, friend, He is God. He is God. You say, well, what does the frankincense have to do with this? Well, look again. Verse 11 says, they brought unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. What is frankincense? Frankincense is one of the ingredients in a sweet perfume that was used in the tabernacle and the temple for one purpose, the worship of God. As a matter of fact, God said in Exodus chapter 30 that it's not to be used for any other purpose. It is sacred to be used for Almighty God. Now, not only did they worship him, therefore, as king, but they worshiped him as God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they came and worshiped him. Look in chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. If that child is not God, that's the ultimate in blasphemy. That anybody would worship a two-legged creature who is not God. Why, if he's not God, he has aided and abetted the greatest crime of the centuries, and that is enticing people to idolatry. The Bible says we're to worship God, we're to have no other gods before us. In the book of the Revelation, an angel appeared to John, so awesome, so glorious. John, when he was stricken in awe with this particular angel, John fell to his face to worship him. The angel said, hey, wait, whoa, get up. Don't worship me. Angel said, look, if you do it, we'll both be in trouble. You'll be in trouble for doing it. I'll be in trouble for letting you do it. Worship God. One of Jehovah's false witnesses comes and knocks on your door. You ask him this question, do you worship Jesus? Well, they said, we venerate you. No. Do you worship Jesus? Well, we admire. No. Do you worship Jesus? You see, he's between the rock and the hard place. If Jesus is not God, they have no business worshiping him. And if Jesus was worshiped in the Bible and they don't, they're not doing what the Bible teaches. You see, either he's God or he's not God. Now, my friend, when they came and they worshiped him and they brought that frankincense, which was the sweet perfume to be used for God only, and they bowed down and worshiped him, they were saying, not only is he one of sovereign dominion, he's a king, but he's one also of sinless deity. He is God. Now, folks, if there's a message that needs to be preached in this day and this age, that's the message. Sometimes the Muslims say, oh, we believe in Jesus. They believe in Jesus as a prophet. We believe in Jesus as God. Paul told Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You'll never know Christmas as you ought to know Christmas until you see, friend, his sovereign dominion, till you see his sinless deity. We sing that Christmas carol, What Child Is This? Let Isaiah answer that question. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, thirdly, not only did they bring to him gold, and not only did they bring to him frankincense, which was that sweet perfume to be used for God only, but thirdly, they brought to him myrrh. And what is myrrh? Look again in chapter 2, verse 11. And when they come into the house and saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshiped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And myrrh. What is myrrh? Well, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, one of the things they offered him to drink was myrrh. It was a bitter herb. Put in your margin, Mark 15, verse 23. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. When they would bury the dead, one of the spices they used, the bitter spices to embalm the dead, was myrrh. That's a strange thing to give a baby who's just been born. Something bitter. Something used to embalm the dead. Now, whether these wise men knew with precision what they were doing, I know not. But I know this, that God the Holy Spirit was working in the whole thing. And here you have a prophecy not only of his sovereign dominion, not only of his sinless deity, but of his sacrificial death. His sacrificial death. They gave him myrrh. This was a baby that was born to die. They anticipated, they recognized his death upon the cross. Now today, you can make much of Christmas. And everybody loves Christmas. I mean, we get together, we eat, we give presents, the lights are beautiful, and a little baby. Who can't get excited about a little baby? But you know something? In the Bible, we find no record that the early church ever celebrated Christmas. I don't think it's wrong to celebrate Christmas. But the early church had a memorial not to remember his birth. They had a memorial, the Lord's Supper, to remember what? His death. His death. The more carnal a person is, the more they will make of his birth, the less they will make of his death. Oh, they love the cradle. They don't love the cross. And that same crowd, that same giddy crowd that will be dancing around the cradle on Christmas Eve will be in a drunken stupor on New Year's singing Auld Lang Syne. They don't see this baby as the sovereign king. They don't see him as sinless deity. They don't see him as the sacrificial savior who's going to die a death, an ignominious death on the cross. Would you like to worship Jesus with wisdom this Christmas? Thank God that this babe was born to die. Did you know he was the only one ever chose to die? No man ever else has chosen to die. You say, what about those men who are suicide bombers? They don't choose to die. They're going to die anyway. All people are going to die. The only thing they did was to choose the time of their death. All people are going to die. I've told you before, there's a new statistic on death. 1 out of 1 people die. You're going to die. Jesus was the only one who chose to die. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He didn't have to die because there was no sin in him. The wages of sin is death. He didn't have to die. He could never have died unless he willingly, voluntarily, vicariously laid down his life upon that cross. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. That baby was born to die. He was born a naked baby. He died a naked man upon the cross. The painters have been kind to him and at least have put a loincloth on him. No. My dear Savior, stripped of his clothing, nailed, writhing in pain, naked upon a cross. From the time he was a child, he had the shadow of a cross. Do you want to be wise this Christmas? Friend, you be wise like these men in the way they sought him. You be wise like these men in what they brought him. The gold tells me, are you listening? Your wealth belongs to Jesus. Don't get the idea you've done him a wild favor if you give him a dime out of a dollar. Friend, the whole dollar is his. He just lets you use it. It's all his. You don't believe that, do you? Friend, it is all his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So your wealth belongs to him. Does that turn you off? Turned a rich young ruler off one time, and he went away sorrowful. He's king. He's sovereign. Your wealth belongs to him. I'll tell you something else. He is God, and your worship belongs to him. You need to fall on your face before him. Make him Lord of lords and King of kings. And I'll tell you a third thing. He is Savior. And your witness belongs to him. You need to receive him and then go tell it on the mountains. Let everybody know that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And if we believe what we believe, this Christmas message, and in these pregnant days in which we live, we're going to tell the world there is a Savior born who is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ the Lord. That'll be a wise Christmas, wouldn't it? To seek Him the way these men sought Him. To bring to Him what they brought to Him. To recognize who He is and say, Lord, my wealth, my worship, my witness is Yours, Lord Jesus. With every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every sinew, all of my fiber, as much as in me is, Jesus, Your Lord. Are you afraid to do that? Don't be. You won't have a real Christmas. You say, Pastor Roger, you're making it tough this morning. No, I'm not. His commandments are not grievous. I'm making it joyful. I'm telling you how to have a real Christmas. I'm telling you how to make the joys of Christmas burst aflame in your heart and in your life. We serve a wonderful Savior, do we not? We really do. I'm so glad to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to know Jesus. I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed, no one stirring, no one looking around. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. How would you like to have a brand new start? How would you like to start the new year? A new start with a new heart. To find Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. I want to lead you in a prayer. And in this prayer, you can give your heart to Jesus Christ. Now, if you are wise, you'll know that He is seeking you today. Through His Spirit, through the Scriptures, through this message, He wants to save you. Would you pray a prayer like this? Lord Jesus, I know that You're King of Kings. I take myself off the throne and I enthrone You. I know that You are the mighty God. I stand in awe of You. I worship You. I believe that You died on the cross to pay for my sin with Your blood. Thank You for paying for my sin. And now by faith, I receive You into my life as my Lord and Savior. Come in right now. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. No, friend, He will. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Cleanse me. Save me, Lord Jesus. Take control of my life and begin now to make me what You want me to be. And give me the courage to make it public. Help me not to be ashamed of You. In Your name I pray. Amen. Friend, we are so grateful that you watched the program today. And if you prayed with us to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we rejoice with you. And perhaps you'd like some literature, some help, some suggestions for living the Christian life. We'd like to help you to do just that. We have some incredible material, literature, that I promise you sincerely will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to understand more and more what happened to you when you received Jesus. It's important, very important, that you have this help. So write to us and let us know, and we will send you absolutely free some material to help you get started in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message from Adrian Rogers has been an encouragement to you. You can stream this message again and download Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, or a transcript of this message all at lwf.org or the MyLWF app. While you're there, be sure to check out our new Bible studies on today's topic as well as many other topics. At lwf.org, you can also sign up to receive our daily heartbeat email, which includes a written devotional and a 90-second inspirational audio clip, both from Adrian Rogers, as well as a link to our daily radio program delivered directly to your computer or your mobile device each and every morning. And if you're looking for some inspiration or an encouragement to get you through the week, check us out on social media at LWF Ministries. And don't forget, you can catch up with our program each week on our Facebook page or YouTube channel or the MyLWF app. Thanks for joining us for our program today. We'll see you next time.
To learn to worship is your greatest need. To worship in spirit and in truth is the ultimate privilege. And to worship God is, beyond a doubt, the supreme duty of any child of God.
At Love Worth Finding, our mission is to create new tools and resources inspired by the timeless teachings of Adrian Rogers. Wonder and Worship, a new devotional journal from Love Worth Finding, is a collection of Pastor Rogers' best thoughts about worship. With a daily verse, a devotional thought, and an opportunity for application, this new book will help you on your spiritual journey to find wonder in your worship. For your gift this month, we'd like to send you a copy of Wonder and Worship. Request yours when you give online at lwf.org. Or call with your gift at 1-800-647-9400.